Great art is perhaps most loved because it presents us with complexity and a wealth of questions about life and contains a mystery within the work. Well, the Fitzwilliam Museum has just unveiled the world-famous Botticelli masterpiece, Venus and Mars, embedded in a new exhibition, having been lent the work for the first time by the National Gallery to mark its bicentenary. And it's the first time it's been lent anywhere. The painting will be in Cambridge for the summer. The exhibition project has also been used to provide opportunities to students from Anglia Ruskin University and Cambridge University interested in taking up careers in curating famous artworks. Director of the Fitzwilliam, Luke Sison, took me through the features of this spectacular artwork. Luke, what does it mean to you to have this absolutely fantastic painting on your walls now?
It's for me a chance to look again and to invite everyone to look again at one of the most famous pictures in the world in company with some of our own great masterpieces at the Fitzwilliam, to think afresh, to look long and to somehow recapture the joy of this painting.
Tell me a little bit about the complexity of the image, because it has so much in it.
Yes, I mean, it's always called Venus and Mars. It could well represent, you know, the goddess of love and the god of war, but they're represented in ways that are really quite unexpected. She's clothed, he's naked. There are all these little satyrs, goatee, cheruby things, playing around in a very mischievous way, trying to wake him up. Have they just had some sort of sexual liaison? Is she lying there complacent, introverted, unsatisfied? Is he dreaming the whole thing, or is he, you know, simply conked out? And it's all up for grabs, really, and I think the painting invites all those questions in the way that a great poem does. And really, I think what Botticelli was trying to do was to give us the equivalent of a poem, which was about the ancient world but was also about the world he lived in, and as a result I think it can be about the world we live in too.
How does that tie in with the other exhibits, and what are they?
So we've shown the picture with a Titian that came to Cambridge with Viscount Fitzwilliam's gift to the university, with a bronze Apollo by the sculptor Antico, which is actually our most recent major acquisition in the Renaissance field, and with a plate that shows the story of Peleus and Thetis, the parents of Achilles, and the sort of awful moment where Thetis is attacked sexually by Peleus, thanks to seeing her nude. And I think that what we're talking about here with the Titian, where the Venus is nude and the male companion is clothed, with the Apollo, which probably belonged to a female patron of Isabella d'Este, and the plate, which certainly belonged to her, is the questions of how do you read power relationships in these works of art? How do you think about male and female nudity and clothedness? Where does the erotic lie? Where does looking become dangerous? What forms of arousal might these pictures have been intended to provoke? How do all those ideas play out today? It's never been lent before, and we're very privileged to be the first borrowers of it. I think what's really nice is that there's a long relationship between the Fitzwilliam and the National Gallery. We lend to them, actually, probably more often than the other way around. But I like the idea that what this does is mark the beginning of a new kind of relationship where the two institutions are learning from each other, and where forms of exchange are not just the kind of you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, but actually collaboration across the country, which is exactly what a great national university should be doing with a great national gallery.
Senior Research Associate in the Museum Learning Department and one of the co-curators of the exhibition, Kate Noble, has been working with young people on the project.
I run a research programme which invites people, local people particularly, into the museum to collaborate with us on projects and on displays and on our programmes. We're really interested in having conversations between local audiences, local people, and the experts in the museum, so curators, conservators, collections management teams, our learning teams, you know, range of different people that work in the museum that have these ongoing conversations with people to understand how and to consider how our exhibitions, displays and public programmes can be made relevant and accessible to a broader range of people. So my involvement in the project has been about how do we invite people into conversation with the artwork, mm-hmm. so that it's a bit more of an interactive, conversational kind of dialogic experience. They've kind of been working alongside the display and project team as the project has been evolving. So there's been a really lovely sort of fusion between the two projects. The main influence on the display of the young people's project has been that the conversations that we were having with them and the questions that they were asking us about the painting and the observations and reflections they had on the work of art have fed into the questions that we've asked people when they come into the display. The themes and the issues which resonated with the young people, those are some of the themes that we've pulled out for the display.
What's the narrative of the exhibition?
I mean, it's titled Love and Looking, you'll see when you come in. It's about our relationship with the nude in art. It's about how these works of art were originally displayed and enjoyed and looked at by people 500 years ago in Italy when they were hanging in domestic spaces, not in art galleries. So the Botticelli would originally have hung in a camera or a bedchamber, and would have been a very special room where people were brought, not just place where husband and wife came together, but also a place where special guests were brought in to enjoy the amazing range of artwork that was often on display in there.
Why was this Botticelli, which is Venus and Mars, 1485, why was that lent to the Fitzwilliam? Because it's never gone outside the National Gallery before, has it?
I think you'll have to ask Gabriele, the director, about that.
So I'm Gabriele Finaldi, I'm the director of the National Gallery. And I'm here for National Treasures, for the opening of this special Botticelli display at the Fitzwilliam Museum. It's a picture that's never been lent before by the National Gallery, so it's here for the first time outside of London. I suppose it's a work which encapsulates certain qualities of the Italian Renaissance, and I'm thrilled that here at the Fitzwilliam, which has these extraordinarily rich Renaissance collections, it's been shown in the context of other Renaissance works as well. But I suppose people are being invited to think of it as a picture today. You know, what does this picture from nearly 600 years ago, what does it mean to us today? Botticelli has this sort of diamond sharpness in the way he composes his pictures and the way he draws his pictures. And I think, you know, you can get right up close to the picture and really get a sense of the artist's hand sort of gliding across the surface of the painting, defining those very sharp lines, the contours of Mars and Venus, as we call them. Whether they are Mars and Venus or not, or whether they're other people playing the parts of Mars and Venus, I think that's the right lens through which to look at them. They are mythological figures, but they're also very real figures. And, you know, it is a woman and a man, and he clearly has been overcome by a passionate encounter with the woman. She is remarkably sort of self-possessed and poised. She's fully clothed. He's semi-naked. It's not usually that way round. So Botticelli is doing some, you know, subverting of the traditional subject. It's got some very sort of clever paradoxes sort of built into it. And in a way, that's not surprising, because Botticelli was working for a very distinguished and learned clientele. He was quite close to a certain number of poets, particularly Poliziano, who has this ability to, you know, shuttle between very, very high art and, you know, natural appearances and a more earthy recounting of the stories of the myths and so on. And that's exactly what Botticelli is doing.
What does the narrative of this exhibition contain, and how does that painting particularly fit into it?
So I've just seen the show this morning, but what it seems to me it's trying to do with the other works that are displayed nearby. There's a Titian nude, there's a piece of Maiolica showing a love scene, and there's also a sculpture by a 15th century sculptor called Antico of Apollo. So I think what it's trying to do is put this love scene in the context of how love can be seen in lots of different ways. And it's not just the preserve of male artists. It's Isabella d'Este, the Marchioness of Mantua at the end of the 15th century, an extremely learned and witty aristocratic ruler who commissioned some of these pictures for herself. So I think the idea is to kind of open up the subject matter, to see the way in which artists influence each other over time, but also to see the different ways in which artists think about the theme of love and marriage and intimacy.
And tell me a little bit about the National Gallery's bicentenary.
So in a way, we kick off the bicentenary today in Cambridge with this special loan. In fact, there are 12 what we call national treasures visiting 12 locations across the UK, from Belfast to Edinburgh, from Brighton to Leicester. And we wanted to make a special event of the National Gallery's bicentenary kicking off outside of London. Again, you know, highlighting that element of nation across the whole of the UK in National Gallery.